This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Adeline Chung, and you're listening to Stylefile, where we stay on the pulse with what's brewing in the fashion industry. This week, I'll be speaking to local women's wear fashion designer, Izzati Amira.
Some Malaysians, they can be quite conscious of their hip and everything, and they feel like if they tuck in a skirt, and then you can see like, you know, perut and everything, kan? But in a way, when you sit, you tak nampak dah your perut and everything.
After that, Florence Song, stylist at Zalora, shares with us her thoughts on this week's trend, the return of the vest.
Yes, Steve Irwin. Yes. It's pretty much that aesthetic. So, you know, it looks like cargo pants, but for the upper body.
But first up, here's our fashion headlines of the week. Two prominent fashion conglomerates have stepped up to provide financial assistance to the rebuilding of the 850-year-old Notre Dame Cathedral after a devastating fire. François-Henri Pinault, owner of luxury group Kering that owns Gucci, Saint Laurent, Balenciaga, and Alexander McQueen, has announced his pledge of 100 million euros and said he wishes to give life back to the jewel of the French people's heritage as soon as possible. Bernard Arnault, aka the richest man in France and CEO of LVMH, which owns Louis Vuitton, Celine, Givenchy and Dior, decided to follow suit and pledge 200 million euros. He also added that the LVMH group's creative, architectural and financial specialist will all be at the disposal of the state to help with the reconstruction and fundraising for the heritage building currently in jeopardy. The Bettencourt Meyers family, which owns L'Oréal, has also matched the 200 million euros donation from LVMH, making it a team effort from the three richest families in France. And moving on to the next story, Jenny from the Block will be receiving this year's CFDA Fashion Icon Award. Known as a multi-talented entertainer from acting to singing, Jennifer Lopez had her start way back in 1991 when she started out as a backup dancer for New Kids on the Block and achieving success as an actress before hitting it big with her debut single, If You Had My Love. But besides her obvious talent and work ethic in the entertainment industry, J.Lo will always be remembered for her daring plunging exotic green Versace silk chiffon dress that stole the show at the 42nd Annual Grammy Awards back in the year 2000. The dress was the most talked about item that year with understandable controversy, but cemented her status as a fashion icon to be reckoned with. With this award, she joins the ranks of Pharrell, Johnny Depp, Beyoncé and Rihanna, who have all been honoured as fashion icons. That wraps up this week's fashion headlines, and now it's time for our style maker of the week, Izzati Amira. After 6 years of being a mainstay in the local fashion industry, Izzati Amira has built quite the reputation with her signature designs and asymmetrical dresses. She joins us on the show again today to talk about her third Raya collection, one that builds on her modern, comfortable and edgy designs, while sticking to her identity with a little twist on the bold and contemporary. Now, Izzati, you last spoke to us in 2017. Give us a quick update on what have you been up to?
So I've been designing this Raya collection for 2019. Actually, I started the collection back in June 2018. And then I actually went for like fabric sourcing back in July. So it's pretty much like quite fast moving, you know, in fashion industry, because you have to pretty much, you know, like plan a year ahead for each collection. Currently, after we have finally launched the Raya collection on Zalora and also at our showroom and our online portal as well, back in March, just quite recent actually, just like 3 weeks ago. So currently, we are actually focusing more on the capsule collection that we are going to showcase for KL Fashion Week this August.
Right.
Yeah. So now we're producing the samples and everything, and then we'll try to actually like maybe try to produce it as soon as possible, because we want to do the see now buy now kind of thing for this August. Yeah.
You mentioned that you had to work like a year before for your collections. You know, would you say that on a yearly basis, 1 year ahead, would you be like working on Raya and KL Fashion Week for these two particular collections only?
Yeah, it will be pretty much overlap.
Yeah.
But basically, like, the timeline would be I will be designing Raya first, and then once, like, I've sorted out all the samples and everything, then only my mind can pretty much, like, get inspired and focus on the new collection, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, while designing for the new collection, the previous collection is already in production. So mm-hmm. it's more on, like, handling the quality and checking on the workmanship and the fabrics and everything. So, yeah, so, it's always overlap.
So what have you planned for KL Fashion Week?
Oh, that one is going to be a secret. So basically for KL Fashion, because like last time when I did an interview with you back in 2017, right? That one was a spring summer collection.
That's right.
So like all this while with, I give a little bit of like teaser lah, because like all this while with the brand Izzati Amira, when I started the brand, I've always wanted to have it as like an amazing archive for the brand and for the collection. Like for example, I've always planned to have like spring summer and fall winter per year, so that means like we have like two seasons for ready to wear, and then we have like Raya that comes in between. Mm-hmm. But then the thing is that what I realized after like 6 years of trial and error with the business and the brand, I realized that in Malaysia there's like, I'm not saying there's no such thing as like labeling as fall winter, because you know previously even I mentioned to you before that even if we label it as fall winter, we would still be using the same material that is suitable for our humid weather.
That's right.
It's just that the color palette is different for fall mm-hmm. winter and spring summer. Just that for this KL Fashion Week, I was thinking maybe like we shouldn't even label like, you know, this collection as like fall, winter or spring, mm-hmm. summer, because, you know, all this is actually basically for the international market. Mm. And the thing about if following the international market, why they are labeling it as spring, summer, you know, like say, for example, Louis Vuitton, like if they come up with a collection spring, summer in September for this year, because there's a lot of buyers who will be placing the orders, and then the stocks will be only arriving in stores in March or April next year. So that's why it's great if you can actually name it as a spring summer collection or yeah. fall winter, because you will have buyers like going to your shows to place orders. But the difference is that in Malaysia, there's not much like buyers will be doing that, you know, because we know it's a very small industry in KL. So in a way, it's more of like, I think there's no, I don't think it's like a really big fuss if I don't label it as spring, summer, yeah. or fall, winter. So,
but did it affect your sales, you know, when you label it as, mm-hmm. you know, fall, winter, and spring, summer?
Yes, it does. To be honest, it does. Because even though if we just like use pretty much the same materials and fabrics like cottons and linens and like crepes and silks or whatever, mm-hmm. it does affect the sales as well. Because when they hear fall, winter, they're just, I don't know, I think they got a bit scared, I think. Maybe because they feel, you know, it's fall, winter and it's like thick materials and thick fabrics yeah. and everything. And
that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah,
right?
Especially Malaysians, you know. So they'll be like, oh, it's fall, winter collection. I don't know if it's suitable for the weather in Malaysia or not. And then there's like, because you know, the difference is also in terms of like silhouettes and shapes and designs. Yeah. I mean, for fall, winter, you'll be coming out with like more jackets and coats and, you know, long pants, whereas for spring, summer, you'll have a bit casual daily
summer
wear,
dresses,
like summer dresses, like shorts and yeah. skirts and everything. So it's different. So I think for KL Fashion Week, what we want to focus is that we want to try and do just like, you know, affordable and wearable pieces, where I think we will focus more on the casual daily wear, where mm-hmm. it will be more on like something that you can just wear macam
ready
go to
wear
work
ke,
macam tu like yeah career wear, or it wouldn't be like, you know, just for fall winter and then this is spring summer, this is fall winter. It's like a combination of both, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be a bit more like maybe
casual?
More minimal and casual, yeah. I would say. Yeah, because when I use like, you know, when I label it as fall, winter, spring, summer, like spring, summer is this inspiration, fall, winter is this inspiration. So the detail elements is different. But mm-hmm. if I name it as a capsule collection throughout the whole year, so in a way, I think it's more cohesive, where we can just focus on like selling what can actually sell in Malaysia. Yeah.
Like Izzati Amira basic?
Something like that,
right?
But it will be minimal, but it will still have the Izzati Amira's aesthetic, I would say. Yeah.
Now, done with KL Fashion Week, Raya is just around the corner, you know. Mm-hmm. Could you walk us through, you know, your Raya collection?
So, like, I've started this Raya collection back in June, July last year, right? Mm-hmm. So, for this collection, I think I was pretty much, I wanted to, because, you know, like, Raya is all about celebration
yeah.
with your beloved ones and everything. So, I've always been intrigued and, like, I used to help my grandmother gulung benang and like macam always teman her to like, you know, pergi Kamda and Nagoya and like fabric shops and everything, potong kain. So I've always been into that, this sewing passion and everything since I was small. So I think that has given like a really huge impact to me and my personal life. And my mother, I think she's a very, you know, loving person and she's kind hearted and everything. So she's always like, you know, even though I'm super rebellious, she's always like manja kan me also. So I think that's a good side of her. And you know, it's like whenever you feel down, your parents will always like motivate you to make you feel better, you know. For this Raya collection, it's quite emotional because both my grandmothers, actually from my mom's side and my dad's side, actually they both love the color green. So that's why if you notice, there's a lot of like shades of green in this collection from the abstract printed and also the scarf print. I kind of like play around with the prints and also the color of greens and everything. So the design is basically, it's still pretty much like the same aesthetic for Izzati Amira. It's quite modern. It's just that for this time, we inserted a mini kurung, actually. It's not really a mini kurung. It's like a kurung where some people wouldn't expect for Izzati Amira to come up with like a kurung kind of design. But I feel it's something, you know, sellable. But still, it has the Izzati Amira aesthetic, which is the floral printed kurung. If you notice, the skirt is like a pleated.
It's pretty.
Thank you so much. I think this year, Raya collection, it's pretty much the same aesthetic like last year. It's just that the color palette, it's a bit more on the earthy tone side. Whereas last year, our Raya 18 was a bit more colourful, if you notice. So it
bolder colours.
Yeah, it was bolder. Just that this time, like, it's more earthy tones. It's a bit more toned down.
Why do you decide to do earthy kind of tones?
Like I said, I think it's quite an emotional collection when I designed this. And I think it's more Izzati also this time because I love champagne and gold colour as well. And I love the seafoam green. And I think, like, you know, pastel colours, seafoam green is still quite sellable and in a Malaysian market. So, and the dark forest green and also the, you know, there's like this very luxurious silky brown and also the wine maroon colour. So,
yeah, that's that bold. That colour is really, really nice.
So I think, like, even though we are using, like, you know, earthy tones, but there's also a hint of, like, you know, dashing this chili red and like the...
It's very burnt. Elegant in a way.
Yeah. So it's still like quite... You know, it's still luxe and it's still quite elegant. And, you know, in our Raya collection, I feel like, because when I designed it, I was aiming and targeting for every woman, like for women from 20, 19, 18 years old up to like 35, 40, 50, 54 years old. You know, my mom's friends also
all ages
buy my designs and everything. So I feel like it has a variety in the Raya collection where we have the modern kurung and then we also have like a bamboo kimono jacquard. It's something like the asymmetrical.
Correct.
Flared top at the back and with the overlap sarong skirt on the front. So that one is a bit more luxe as well. And
I see you have a tucking kurung as well.
Yes, yes.
That's very unique. Why do you create something like that?
I don't know. I don't know if it's like my strength or my talent or what. But I realized when I go for like Raya, I mean for myself, last time when I couldn't find any nice baju kurung in the market before I designed my Raya collection, I always wear macam like, you know, like last minute kind of Raya thing. Like I always buy like a nice long skirt. And after that, I just start in with a nice shirt or something. I feel it's quite elegant and it's quite classic. It's something like what, you know, Carolina Herrera would wear to an event or like Kate Blanchett, for example. So I tried to give that modern twist into this Raya collection where I feel, I mean, you know, some Malaysians, they can be quite conscious of their hip and everything. And they feel like if they tuck in a skirt and then you can see like, you know, perut and everything, kan? But if there's
spot
skirt,
on.
Yeah, because most of my skirt, there's like peplum and then there's like gathers on the front, even though they feel like, oh, but this will be like, you know, macam enhance and attract the attention on your part here. But in a way, when you sit, you tak nampak dah your perut and everything. So in a way, it will actually enhance, we will actually grab the attention around the waist area and the hip area, but actually in a nice way, you know, it gives you extra curves a little bit. So I think it's still quite convincing for to look bootylicious and just embrace it.
But are your skirts like, are they like button, zip on?
With zips, yeah, with zip, yeah. So there's like invisible zipper at the back for the fastening, yeah.
They're not gutters, right?
They're not gutters. I mean, for the tuck-in ones, they're not gutters. If we do like a kurung with yang just outside punya, then the skirt will insert like elastic lah, so that it will give a bit of ease, you know, comfortability.
How many colours do you have for your tuck-in kurungs?
We have the champagne one with the peplum skirt. And then we also have this, I think one of the most favourite by everyone, actually the lace skirt with the pleated top. I was wearing this design to my friend's wedding back in, I think 2 years ago, I think. And then after that, like, people started to ask me. This is only like our second Raya collection with Zalora. Because before this, we were just focusing more on ready to wear, right? So, you know, it's something like really quite over, but actually it's not over. I don't know how to say it. It's actually like a simple overlap top with like just lace skirt, red color skirt.
And then so you wore this 2 years ago and then you decided to launch this 2 years later.
But in a different print, obviously, which is the floral pleated. because, you know, people want to wear actually what I was wearing, because I was a bit like scared when I was discussing about this with, you know, Zalora and everything. So I was asking them, you know, like, if I do print on print or like print with lace, will it be a bit too over? So then they'll say like, you know, just try and do it lah, kan? So I came up with this design and then they really like it. And then fortunately, Malaysians love it as well. So I'm quite thankful for that. Because at first I was a bit scared, because, you know, it's actually very bold, this mix and match, like print and lace, you know. But yeah, so far it's good.
I've been speaking to Izzati Amira, and right after this, I'll be finding out more about her Raya collection. Stay tuned, you're listening to Stylefile on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Stylefile. Now, I've been speaking to local women's wear designer Izzati Amira, and we've been talking about her fabric choices for the brand's upcoming Raya collection. I've noticed that, you know, the fabrics that you use for a Raya collection this year are more towards twill, silk and chiffon, right?
Yep.
Why so?
I feel it's a bit more airy. I think after a while, even though like I would love to try and keep it as luxe as possible, you know, for the Raya collection, but I think let's just stick that one for the custom clients, because for ready to wear, I think everyone just want to wear something really comfortable for Raya.
And you have to massage.
Yes, exactly. You know, so like for the first day of Raya, you know, it will be like really busy, like layan people and layan you know, guests and everything, and cousins and everything.
Move so around a lot.
Move around, and you'll be helping your mom bubuh kuih or whatever. So macam, for me, like I want my customers or like Malaysians to be wearing like nice designs for Raya, but still feel comfortable in your own skin. You know, it's a nice design and it's comfy. It's easy for you to move around, but still look fashionable. Yeah.
So I know you design Raya collection for yourself, Izzati Amira, as well as Zalora. So how different are these two collections?
It's actually the same collection. It's just that some of the designs are on Zalora, but we don't have it at our showroom, because we have like 10 designs all together in total for Izzati Amira. For Zalora, we have like 12 designs all in total.
Right.
So there's a difference of like two designs that we don't produce it, I mean, at our showroom, because I think I want to keep it exclusive still for Izzati Amira. So for those two designs, if they want to purchase it, they can still buy it on Zalora. But it's, I mean, like for the other 10 designs, it's still the same designs. Yeah.
What about the fabrics, you know? Do you still import fabrics from China?
Yes, I do.
So what is it about China that makes you buy fabrics from them?
I think it's very, it's easy and systematic to buy fabrics from them. It's just that you have to be like really, really careful. Because I've always been going to China and Guangzhou ever since, like, you know, with my previous job. Because, you know, I always flew to China quite frequent, like last time. So I'm quite used with the selok belok of Guangzhou and everything. And I did try to go to Jakarta and like Thailand, you know, Bangkok and everything, to source for fabrics and Vietnam. But like with Vietnam, it's a bit more pricey. And India, like they are more focused on embroidery and beaded stuff and chiffon and everything. So it's a bit more on like the sari kind of material side, where I think China, they just have everything, you know, because it's like one of the biggest textile market in the world now, that they actually have any type of materials basically. And for me to actually print, especially for my brand, we use a lot of like different prints and everything for each collection, because you can just design the print and then after that you can choose the base material, like what you want. Say for example, like this print, you want it to be on silk or you want it to be on cotton. So it's quite accessible, I would say. So that's why I guess I stick to China.
Do you think like, you know, there's a lot of competitors, you know, in China and stuff in terms of like buying this same kind of fabric?
Definitely. There is like so many times actually that I actually bought the fabrics and then by the time I got here in Malaysia, I saw someone else already using it. Yeah.
So what do you do after that?
Thank God I haven't bought the entire like roll yet, because normally what I do is I would go to China to actually buy the sample fabrics first, where maybe I will just purchase like 10 meters or 15 meters for example. So then if I saw someone else doing the same or using the same materials, I will just stop and I wouldn't be producing it.
And then fly back to China again and source for new fabrics.
That must be so
troublesome, right?
Yes, definitely. It's quite troublesome because everyone knows how to go to China these days. Because, you know, like I said, it's quite accessible. I mean, the market is just growing very, very, very fast, and it's very, very competitive these days. So I think everyone is just like competing with one another in terms of not just designing. I think even the price point is also one of the biggest factors now in Malaysia. And I think China would be the most reasonable, I think, and affordable for ready-to-wear market, I think. So for us to sustain, we just, but you just have to be like really careful, because, you know, I'm not saying bad thing about them, but you just have to be really careful because they can also tipu you a lot, you know. So
Do you speak Mandarin?
a little bit.
At least you understand a
very
bit.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can speak, because if I go there, I go there alone, so I can only speak a very little. Because when I take the fabric swatches and everything, maybe I'll just ask, like, oh, 多少钱? Like, 这个多少钱? Then, like, and then I know, like, fabric colors are like, 黑色, 白色, like, 白色, 这样子. So, yeah, 像明天, 后天, 这样子. Like, little, like, very little, maybe just wordings, but I don't know, like, the whole sentence. Yeah, if, like, they just explain in the whole sentence, like, if the fabric client tak boleh produce or whatever, right. Then I'm just like, I'm going to call my agent and, or my Chinese friend and ask them to explain and then talk on the phone. So it's quite hard also, but I still, you know, still learning. Because, to be honest, I really want to go to like Mandarin classes here in Malaysia. But the thing is that all my Chinese friends in Malaysia, they don't even speak Chinese, you know. They all speak fluent English. So if I learn Mandarin and then if I don't practice it also, if I just use it when I go to China, then I will, in a way, like, terlupa juga, I think.
But how often do you go to China?
Quite often, actually, maybe like 5 to 6 times a year, actually. Mm. Yeah, but if... Because like last time when I had 3 seasons per year, right? That means I had like spring, summer, fall, winter and also Raya. So I was like back and forth 5 to 6 times a year. Actually starting from last year, I was only going like 3 to 4 times only because I don't produce that much collection anymore, yeah. Because I feel like, to be honest, like ready-to-wear market in Malaysia, I thought it's like growing slowly and bigger. It's just that it's growing. It's really growing very fast, but it's just that it's more and more competition. So in a way, you have to like, take a step back, yeah.
Maya, I read that you are not able to achieve sustainable fashion in your business yet, but it was a year ago. How about now?
Yeah, because now we are only producing the Raya collection, which I think Raya collection, memang, like, it's the time for you to actually make business and make sales. That's why we actually stopped, like I mentioned just now, that's why we actually stopped producing the seasonal collection. And I want to come up with the capsule collection for Girl Fashion Week, where we will focus more on like wearable and daily wear designs. So I think, I hope, I don't know, let's see this August, like how the sales is going to be like. Because I feel like I've been fighting, trying to like educate Malaysians with like nice designs and practical designs and affordable, you know, because our price range are pretty much like quite affordable, I would say, 250 ringgit and above. So for them, I think they just need to understand that it's a local designer brand. It's not like a brand like Zara, you know, because it's different. Because it's like Zara and H&M, you can't compare.
Mass production.
It's mass production. Yeah. And also there's like maybe 10 masterminds behind it, like behind every design, you know.
Would you say that would be the biggest challenge for you in terms of educating the people,
definitely,
the consumers?
Yeah, definitely. Because like sometimes you feel like you know what the market wants, but actually you still don't know what the market wants. You know, you can see like people is getting more and more fashionable. Kids these days are getting more and more fashionable, which is a good thing. But the thing is that also because one day they will be like, you know, more advanced than us because the social media is just crazy.
Yeah.
So even though you try to guide them, but I feel like our generation is like really pushing the ready-to-wear platform. But I feel like maybe 10 years or 5 years down the road, maybe it's the younger generations who will actually get the benefit and will maybe eventually naik lagi senang or something. I don't know. Because, you know, in Malaysia, the ready-to-wear market is like quite tough compared to like Raya. For like normal daily wear, there is a market, but it's still for you to sustain and to have like, you know, sales keep coming like every day. It's still quite hard.
How do you think that it's possible or that we can educate the consumers about sustainable fashion?
To be honest, I think they just need to be like more daring. I mean, like, I would say like they just need to be a bit more open-minded. Because for me, like, we breathe fashion every day, you know. So I think fashion is like a part of life. It's just for you to make yourself look good and feel good. Because if you wear like nice clothes, you will in a way feel good and look good. I think it's just our culture that Malaysians are pretty much conservative and like pretty much insecure about themselves. I'm not asking us to be like, you know, Mat Saleh, to just be overconfident. But, you know, sometimes I feel we're quite lacking in terms of that. I think we need like more confidence in people because you have to like embrace yourself and make yourself feel good and look good for other people as well. So I seriously think it's like you have to change for yourself, then only you can change for the better, you know, for the world. So I feel from every aspect, to be honest, from being kind to being a nice human and everything, being fashionable,
Now, finally, do you plan to try new things, you know, and go out of the box by designing something different from your aesthetic?
Maybe, because I think it's quite an amazing challenge if you can actually challenge yourself to be a versatile designer. Maybe I would design something quirky or something girly or something feminine one day for the business, I would say, maybe.
Or maybe instead of just clothes, you know, maybe you start designing bags or other accessories, perhaps.
Definitely,
right?
Definitely. I had these thoughts of like planning to come up with even like scarves or tudung print or something, because I feel we have a lot of like different prints every season. sometimes I don't wear my own prints, but I feel like this is what the brand is all about, and this is what is selling for Izzati Amira, and this is what Izzati Amira's aesthetic is all about, and our customers love it. So yeah, maybe one day, but maybe like tudung or like maybe bags or something. Because actually, I do notice like I love to design and come up with something like an accessory for Kel Fashion Week, for example, like our fanny packs and something. So for this upcoming Kel Fashion Week also, maybe we'll do something, because like there's like a lot of people also asking and slide us a DM to ask about the fanny packs, like if they can just buy the fanny packs. If you know, the fanny pack is like a 3D punya bag, tapi if you use like leather or something, you can in a way make it into a real bag. Yeah. So yeah, it's quite interesting. So I think yeah, for this Kel Fashion, we'll be coming up with something like that.
That was local women's wear designer Izzati Amira. And coming up next, Florence and I will be discussing this week's trend, vests. Stay tuned. You're listening to Stylefile with me, Adeline Chung, right here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Chung on Stylefile. And it's time for this week's Style Shrink. Florence Song, stylist at Zalora, tells us more about a trendy item we all used to have back in the day, vests.
So, do you remember the last time that vests were in fashion? So, I remembered it back in the early 2000s when Avril Lavigne was in the scene. So,
ooh,
you had
a long
those,
time.
Yeah, a long time ago. And you had those tuxedo vests, sort of like the pinstriped ones.
I used to own one.
Yeah, everyone used to own one. And they used to wear it with low slung jeans, correct, you know, paired with a sleeveless tank top that was most probably bought from Topshop back then. So, that was back in the day. And, you know, thank God we have moved past that aesthetic, because there was pretty cringe. But these days, you know, vests come in a variety of styles. We have like the smart tailored long line vests that are perfect for work. We also have boho styles like the ones that Jimi Hendrix wore. And we also have, you know, the edgy leather pieces that's done up in metallics like silver and bronze. But the one style that pretty much stands out today is, you know, the current Instagrammer favorite. It's the chunky tactical style utility vests that pretty much looks like what, you know, a fisherman, a zookeeper, or, you know, one of those construction supervisors would actually wear. Have you seen those?
With the ones with a lot of pockets that you see on National Geographic.
Steve Irwin. It's pretty much that aesthetic. To, you know, it looks like cargo pants, but for the upper body.
So in terms of the colors?
In terms of the colors, you have everything that ranges from the neutrals. You have the khakis, the tans, the beiges, and it ranges all the way to, like, you know, the nylon neons, like, you know, orange. Pretty much like the ones that a traffic conductor would wear, the orange ones. You know, we also have bright yellows, bright purples. So it's very street style. It's, you know, something that you would pair with your cargo pants and utility pants and one of those bucket hats as well.
Why do you think that this particular trend, the baggy kind of vest, you know, is so popular right now?
I guess to trace this trend's origins, you have to look towards last year's spring 2018's men's collection, where a lot of designers, including Raf Simons, Chitose Abiyar Sakai, and Undercover's Jun Takahashi, they put out a lot of these outdoorsy, hiking-worthy gear on the runways. So much that, you know, brands like Nike, Gucci, and Louis Vuitton have also released their own versions. And we also currently have the cargo pants to go with it. So it's pretty much all about that outdoorsy, adventure, camping aesthetic as well.
So how would you style it for day wear or nighttime? Not many people wear it, but most of the time day wear. How would you style it?
So for this kind of like chunky vests, it's very much for a daytime, not so much for nighttime, unless, you know, you're going into the clubs or you're going to an event or something very, you know, something that's, you know, like a music festival maybe, where, you know, you're looking to have your picture taken by the street style photographers. So a lot of people would usually wear it with maybe like an oversized t-shirt dress.
Right.
So you just have the vest over it as sort of like, you know, a matching color. Or, you know, you can wear it with a tube top underneath because the vest is really heavy and chunky, and so it might be quite hot as well.
Yeah, you might sweat a lot in it.
So keep the layer underneath very light and pair it with your chunky cargo pants as well and your chunky sneakers. It'll look really good like that.
Price must be a little bit pricier as well. Where can we find a reasonable one?
The good thing is that it's because it's so in trend right now that it's available in all the high street stores. So you could probably snag one for about, you know, 100 ringgit roughly, Or you could also look in your local vintage stores, your bundle stores, and you could definitely get it for, you know, 10 ringgit, 15 ringgit, which is such a steal.
I think it's amazing because when you walk out, when you go out, you don't have to carry your handbag. Just put your money and your phone in your pockets.
It's perfect.
Free hand.
Perfect for when you want to go out dancing as well at a gig. And you can dance away with, you know, no bags.
So do you think this is a trend that you would invest in? And looking at the price that you mentioned, 100 ringgit for a vest,
I would get mine from a bundle store. I mean, I've already found mine from the bundle store.
You found yours?
Yeah, yeah. For like 10 ringgit, 15 ringgit.
10 ringgit?
Yes. If you really want to invest in like fast fashion, go to your bundle stores and get it. I mean, it's not a trend that will last you years for sure. So right. Get it at a cheap price, you know, have fun with it, experiment with it, and then, you know, move on.
Now I want to know which bundle store you go to. That's all the time we have for you this episode. If you'd like to listen to us on the go, you can revisit this episode on our podcast by downloading it on our website, bfm.my, or on our free BFM app on Google Play or the App Store. Closing us off, here's the debut single from this year's CFDA fashion icon, Jennifer Lopez, with If You Had My Love. You've been listening to Stylefile with me, Adeline Chung, on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.